For its final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Wednesday afternoon. Hope everybody is having a good day, considering what we've been through this week. Thinking about a lot of you out there, for sure. Tron Davenport poking his head in here during the break. Tell you what, he's all
working
over these
hard.
All over these interviews, talking to these guys.
He does his homework, man.
Yep.
He connects with those players that coming up through the draft. He has knowledge.
No doubt about it. Every Wednesday at this time, we speak with Chris Mason. He's driven by Freeland Chevrolet. Chris had to juggle some things with the schedule. Speaking of being out in the community, he is doing that, and Pete Weber has been nice enough to slide in his place, and we're excited about that. Pete, how you doing?
I'm doing well, but I've never been a goaltender, so I don't know, I'll talk hockey, but I'm not going to be able to talk as intelligently on goaltending as Mr. Mason could.
Yeah, we are not going to ask you to be our e-bug. That's for sure.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Let me start with how are you and Claudia doing? I know, obviously, with this, you had the same schedule as Willie. You had to take off. I haven't talked to Claudia since then. Is everything okay on the home front?
Yes. Now, with the other thing that's going on in the world right now, the coronavirus, she was supposed to have flown to Italy yesterday with a tour group from Nashville. That, because of coronavirus, was canceled. So as a little substitute for that, I'm going to fly her to Columbus next week.
What a swell husband. What a swell guy you are. I mean, she'll forget all about that trip.
Absolutely, because she'll go to her favorite pizza joint from her girlhood in Columbus and look just like she's back in Italy.
Well, you know what? In all seriousness, that if you were ever going to get close, ever, even kind of get close, Columbus is a good place for that's a good place to get Claudia in a good spot. That's a very good point. Now, if you could make a couple Buckeyes, you know, just appear and that she could, you know, hang out with, I don't know, her favorite players or coaches, then, you know, that could be a nice little whipped cream and cherry on top.
Well, maybe if I could possibly get somebody like John Brockington, who was in one of her classes at one point, to show up, that would be great.
The there you go.
Back that people remember from the Packers, I'm sure.
You've got, 10 days to make that happen before that game.
Yes, sir. Just 2 days shy of going back to Minnesota for the second time.
Yeah, that's right. So before we get in to that, what did you make of it? Looks like some things are coming out of the general manager meetings down in Boca Raton. The offsides, it looks like it's headed that direction. What's been your takeaway on what you, I know you've been working too and limited amount of time, but what's been your takeaways to this point?
Well, the breaking the plane idea, I like, number one, for in terms of determining offside or not, whether your skate is on the ice or above the ice. But all that does, and I had a longer conversation yesterday with my buddy Greg Brown, voice of the Pirates. He said he had had a dream on the course of the weekend. And that in the dream, the four commissioners of the major sports leagues in North America all got together and announced, and in total agreement, that henceforth all instant replay review will be eliminated from professional sports. And I think that would be absolutely excellent. I would love to see the human element taking over again, notwithstanding what Don Denkinger did to my state of mind back in the 1985 World Series.
But that is a great question to ask, though. Just what if? What if all of a sudden you just wiped it all away and said, you know what? Forget it. We're just going to live with whatever we have.
The officials would be all for it.
You think
refs
so? Yes,
in all sports would raise their hands and high five, and yes, of course.
We'd have no idea how bad Angel Hernandez is.
That's exactly right. Now, let me hit your sweet spot. Let me give you the old number one, because it's something that you and Willie are looking for, communication in the building. Pete, you know we've talked about this, or should I say lack of communication, not to quote rat. But lack of communication, you know, when you make I make a call, how about let a building know, let the broadcasters, let the fans know what the heck is going on. That obviously didn't take place on Saturday. It's something we've discussed.
No, it did not.
Is there anything they can do, and I'll bring this up with David Poile, I think he's going to join us tomorrow, is there anything that can be done where they understand that that is important and they need to fix that. They need to communicate better.
And it's not, Darren, just for me and Willie as broadcasters. It's most important for those people in the stands who pay good money for their tickets to have some concept of what is going on. That's why we mic'd these guys up years ago. And I know on occasion the mics don't work, but that's why we did that. And I think that should be the first order of concern, the first consideration. Make sure the people in the stands have some concept of what the heck is going on the ice, on the field, whatever.
Yeah, and that's what's maddening is now they have the mic, and sometimes they still elect not to inform because we're all in real time trying to pass along to our listeners, viewers, all of that,
right,
what is happening, and they can tell us quicker than anybody else. Otherwise, we have to wait and get it relayed through Toronto or the scorer's table or whatnot. Get an email after the game, which sometimes still doesn't give you the answer you're looking for. So it can be really frustrating.
It's extraordinarily frustrating, and I think that's something that really all sports has to be addressed. But, even like when they have, and here we're getting back to replay again, but we're getting back to umpires on their headsets talking back to the control room in New York, and we should be able to, actually the transparency we have gotten the last several weekends of the XFL, looking at replays, the audience gets a chance to look in as well, I think is absolutely excellent.
Well, let's circle back to what they have decided, where it looks like they've decided,
yeah,
with the breaking the plane. Just for people that maybe haven't followed closely, people might remember the first goal of the Stanley Cup Final of 2017, where the Predators go into the offensive zone. They pass the puck around for a while, and P.K. Subban scores the first goal of the series. Come to find out that it was offside, and it was Philip Forsberg who, this was several passes, several seconds before, and his skate, they couldn't determine whether it was up in the air or not. They said it was. The Predators argued that that was inconclusive at best, but now that would be wiped out, right? That would be, because he was breaking the plane, it wouldn't matter whether his skate's up in the air or not.
Though we would probably that's going to involve replay too, Willie, without question. But it should be a quicker replay, in theory anyway, than what we've endured over the course of the last few years, ever since the most infamous goal Chris Mason ever gave up.
Oh, yes. The Matt Duchene goal.
Yes, yes.
Well, we'll see how that goes and as we move forward here. Now, Pete, isn't it crazy how you can be sitting, Nashville for 3 months was below that line for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They get up above it for a couple of days. It feels great. And then so quickly, now they're back chasing a couple teams. But really, that's the reality, right? It would be nice if they would never have dropped back below. But all of these teams they're fighting for are not perfect teams. It's hard to imagine any of them ripping off 10 straight wins between now and the end of the season. So there's going to be some jockeying here. So you just got to work your way through the tough times here.
Exactly. And tough times potentially coming up Thursday night, Saturday afternoon for the Predators with their third and fourth games of their season series with the Dallas Stars. Looking at what remains here, and a lot of people like to look at the remaining schedules for the teams, only Vancouver has more games left than the Predators. They have 17. The Predators have 16. Minnesota has 16. Arizona, which all of a sudden, you talk about a team that has had a drop here. Arizona has just 15 games left to try to make up these points. This is going to be probably very similar to what we had several years ago when it looked like our very, shall we say, negative in terms of could the Predators make it, and then they made it in 2017, and look where they ended up in a replay situation in Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final. But no, they got to the Stanley Cup Final.
Pete, the Stars, let's bring people up to speed on what's happened with them. Of course, the last time the Predators saw them was in the Winter Classic, and we know the story there. They lost Ryan Ellis early in the game. They couldn't hang on to the lead. It was one of the lower points, even though it was such a tremendous spectacle. But since then, Dallas continues to do the same thing. It's good that Ryan Ellis is back in there. I would imagine that there will be some people in Bridgestone Arena tomorrow that remember the Corey Perry play on Ryan Ellis. I would have to think he's going to get some attention tomorrow.
He very well could. Yeah, there could be even, you know, people sticking pins in Corey Perry dolls. I don't know what's going on. You know, do things like the old days, right? But, yeah, Corey Perry will get that attention and maybe more attention than he got since the draft day in 2003 when the Ducks chose him in the at what was the name of the building in 2003? But in any case, drafted right here at 501 Broadway.
Pete, the Stars, since then, their formula hasn't changed, right? They are going to D up. They're going to make it very, very difficult for you to score goals, allowing just 2.53 goals per game. And Nashville, we know right now, has not really had an easy time scoring goals lately. It still continues to be something that's been puzzling for them. So that really is where you start, isn't it?
Yeah, it really has been. Yeah, how do you generate the attack? So the last three games combined, the Predators have totaled 6 goals. The three games prior to that, they scored 11. So it's been a tremendous roller coaster ride and difficult to figure out. And, of course, there are various factors. Last night, there was no Ryan Johansson. There was no Colin Blackwell. But Yakov Trenin, he impressed me, and he has continued to impress me whenever he has been in the lineup. And I would have a difficult time taking him out right now.
Pete, really good stuff. It's going to be a fun atmosphere, but also a little bit subdued considering, you know, what everybody has gone through in this area. It'll be obviously the first gathering since that Monday night / early Tuesday morning. So we will see you at the rink tomorrow and appreciate the visit. Thanks for doing this.
Looking forward to it. And for everybody who has had to endure what they have endured over the course of the last few days, we are thinking of you and hope we can reach out to you.
No doubt about it. Appreciate it, Pete.
Take care, guys.
Pete Weber, voice of the Predators. You can hear him in the broadcast booth for every game, and all of them are on radio. You're on 102.5 The Game. Pete Weber and Hal Gill in the booth, and they do a tremendous job. Every Wednesday at 1 o'clock, Chris Mason is driven by Freeland Chevrolet. So we appreciate the visit as always, and we will come back with more of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.